This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up. Couldn't play Soundgarden. Had to be Nirvana for Seattle. Okay.
And I'm cool with that. Love Nirvana, man. It's Dukes and Bell, but I don't necessarily like the football team up there, Mike, which we've got to play on Monday night. And here to tell us more is a guy that covers his football team on a daily basis, guys. Team's beat writer for the Seattle Times, Bob Condotta. And he joins us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And, Bob, appreciate the time. I guess the first question for me is, you know, we've heard about Seattle making all of these moves, practice squad, running backs. Who is the running back? Who's the main guy that we can look forward to seeing on Monday night who will get a fair share of the carries?
I think it'll be Thomas Rawls. I'm saying think because it's been a real moving target all season, as you point out there. And they've really had a lot of struggle getting the running game going. But it was Thomas Rawls last week. Eddie Lacy got hurt 2 weeks ago against Washington. Rawls sort of replaced him and was the starter last week against Arizona. They did add a guy named Mike Davis to the 53-man roster this week, and I'm sure he'll play and get out there. But I doubt he'll start, and we're still sort of unclear on the status of Lacy. Obviously, like the Falcons, they're sort of just starting their work week tomorrow. So we haven't gotten a real sense of if he's able to practice yet this week. But so all that leads me to think that for now it'll probably be Thomas Rawls.
We got a lot of speed in our linebacker corps, so we're a little still worried, obviously, about Russell Wilson moving around. Is he moving around by design, or the offensive line is not holding up?
Well, it's always they're always going to want to have him move around by design. I mean, even when they've had really good offensive lines, Russell did a lot of that. I mean, he gained almost 900 yards rushing, you know, in 2014 and things like that. So that's always going to be part of the game plan. But certainly, they've had offensive line issues here the last couple of years. And, another spot where some injuries have really crept up here the last few weeks, they went and traded with Houston to get Dwayne Brown, and then he got hurt pretty early against Arizona last week. It's sort of unclear if he's going to be able to come back. Luke Jokel, who was their big free agent signee, has only played, I think, 5 games, and then he had to have knee surgery, and I don't think he'll be back this week. So there have been issues there. Russell has been having to move around a lot because he's been getting a lot of pressure. But, it's always part of their offense, too. The zone read is always going to be a big part of it, and bootlegs and things like that. So, they're at their best when Russell is moving around and making things happen. They just want it to be more by design and less because he has to.
Bob, what are they not doing well, in your opinion? What is Seattle's issue, if you can point out one or two maybe, as you've watched this team over the course of the season?
Well, I mean, the biggest one is the offensive line and just getting that running game going. I mean, it's real un-Pete Carroll-like to see them have these kind of issues. You know, from 2012 to 15, they ranked every year as one of the top 4 teams in the NFL in rushing. Obviously, they had Marshawn Lynch during that time as well. But even when Lynch was hurt a lot in 2015, you know, they got it going with Thomas Rawls, who had a great rookie season and were able to do some things. And they've really struggled with that the last 2 years. I think they're 22nd in the NFL right now in rushing, barely better than last year. And last year, they sort of pinned a lot of it on the fact that Russell got hurt early in the year and couldn't move around a lot. No, this year that hasn't been the case, but they still are struggling to get a running game going. So, I mean, I think that's number one. The defense has been a little bit more prone to give up some big plays, and that's sort of what's hurt them. I think in general the defense is still playing at a really high level, but they've just had some uncharacteristic breakdowns that really just cost them a couple of their games, especially the game a couple of weeks ago against Washington, where they really just completely stuffed Washington's offense all game, and then the last series they gave up 2 long pass plays that allowed Washington to score the winning touchdown. So they've had a few more things like that, and then obviously what they got going on now is no Richard Sherman for the rest of the year, so we'll see what kind of impact that makes. They Atlanta will be a great test of that to see if to see what a difference it makes without Sherman out there. We haven't seen this offense or this defense play without Richard Sherman in basically 100 games, going back to the midpoint of the 2011 season. So, it's hard to know yet what a problem that is, but I think that's one of the biggest question marks about the defense going forward.
Kind of handicap in Seattle with Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times, covers the Seahawks here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So Byron Maxwell comes back to the nest after making some green in free agency, but how quickly does he get plugged in?
Well, I don't think he's going to start immediately. I think they'll go with what they had at the end of the Arizona game after Sherman got hurt. They've got Shaquille Griffin, who's a rookie. They've been pretty pleased with him. He's been playing the opposite side of Sherman. I think he'll stay there. Jeremy Lane, I think, will continue to start on the other side for now. Lane began the season as sort of the starter and ahead of Griffin, and then he got hurt early in the season, has been in and out of the lineup, and then they actually tried to trade him to Houston as part of the Dwayne Brown trade. He failed the physical there and came back to Seattle, and right now that looks like a godsend for the Seahawks that they were able to keep Lane. Lane's been with the team since 2012, has been a starter off and on, and has played really well at times. So I would assume he continues to start. But, they brought in Maxwell. They were going to have to sign another cornerback anyway to fill out the depth, and he was sort of the available and obviously knows the defense and all of that. So I think for now, he's sort of a depth guy and all that, and they give him a week or two to sort of figure out where he is and go that route. And, if Lane struggles or Griffin struggles or something like that, then they've got another option there.
Seattle's been racking up penalties. That's also been an issue this season?
Oh, for sure, yeah. They're leading the NFL in penalties, so that's always an issue when you're doing that. They had 16 2 weeks ago against Washington, was the second most in NFL history or team history, and then had 12 last week. They're still on pace to set the all-time NFL single-season record for penalties. So, yeah, the biggest thing has been on offense. They've had a lot of holding calls and a lot of false starts. Jermaine Ifedi, their right tackle, continues to lead the NFL in penalties. I think he has since about the third or fourth week of the season, and he still gets one or two per game. They've really just struggled with penalties on that side of the ball. They know it. They're working at it. So it's not like they need to be told about it. I mean, we've all written about 8,000 stories about penalties and all that. So, it's not something they're not working on, but it's obviously easier said than done to just cut out penalties on game day. So, we'll see. I'm sure a team like Atlanta, especially their front seven, I'm sure will try to do some things to maybe force a few more of those.
They are on pace, guys, for 164. The franchise record for Seattle, 138 in 2011. So wow. That's a big deal. And for Falcon fans, I mean, listening to this, Bob, obviously we've had our fair share of penalties. As a matter of fact, Dan Quinn came out and said they've got to play disciplined football. But Seattle is certainly something they got to get fixed if they want to make a run in the playoffs.
Hey, Bob, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, they committed a lot of penalties in the years when Dan was here, and they were winning the Super Bowl and then going to another one as well. They led the NFL those years, and they used to feel like, especially on defense, they've always sort of accepted committing some penalties as part of being an aggressive defense. And, a guy like Michael Bennett gets some offside penalties, but they've always sort of lived with some of those because he also beats his linemen off the snap an awful lot by trying to anticipate the snap. So they've always sort of thought, well, one offside's a game might be worth the one or two sacks he gets because he reads it properly. But this year it's been more of an issue of the offensive penalties and the ones they're getting there, especially the pre-snap penalties and stuff like that. Those are the ones they really want to cut out.
From the Seattle Times, it is Bob Condotta talking about Seattle versus the Falcons. By the way, they get Dwight Freeney, Carl. Remember, we had some Falcon fans,
yeah.
Bob, that kind of was hoping we'd see him back here. But how quickly or how slowly is he getting integrated into the defense?
Well, no, it was fast. He's had three sacks already. He had three sacks in his first two games. He had two in the Washington game. So, no, he's been a big factor. That's another spot. Injuries sort of forced that. Cliff Averill got hurt against Indianapolis in the fourth game of the year. Placed on IR, uncertain if he'll be able to return this season or ever again with the nature of the injury that he's battling. So, they were kind of scouring it. And, it sounds like they had sort of kept in touch with Freeney a little bit throughout the year to just gauge his interest. And if he wanted to play again, I think Freeney was happy. It sounded like to not have to go to training camp and all that and then sort of wait for the best available offer once the season came around. And when Averill went down, they talked to Freeney and were able to get something done here. So, he's part of their defensive end rotation, no doubt. So you'll see him out there, 20, 30 snaps a game or so this week.
Well, I tell you, man, it's going to be fun to watch on Monday night. This is a rivalry. By the way, Pete Carroll, do we know if Pete Carroll and Coach Quinn, how frequently they talk? Has Pete talked about that?
I think they're close. I don't know that they're, I guess I don't know for sure how if they're like talk every day kind of thing. Quinn was sort of interesting. He was kind of a guy that Carroll inherited when he got the job here and was one of the few coaches that he sort of kept. They hadn't really had much of a relationship prior to that. Quinn had been hired here by Jim Mora in 2009 when Mora was fired and they hired Carroll. Dan was one of the guys they kept. He then went to Florida for a couple of years, then came back as a coordinator in 2013, and so was the coordinator for both of the teams here that went to the Super Bowl. So certainly they're close. I don't know how often they talk or anything.
Hey, one last nugget for us. So we've gotten better defensively, speaking of Dan Quinn's defense. One thing, though, tight ends over the time, Jimmy Graham used to give us fits when he was with the Saints. Is Graham back on track? I mean, I know that I was looking at the stat. I think he's like the leading touchdown receiver for Seattle right now.
Yeah, they've gotten that part of it going more. I don't know that he's ever going to get the kind of numbers that he got with the Saints when the Saints were throwing it, 70% of the game. Seattle's throwing a lot more now than they used to, not really by design, sort of right. Just because they've had to, because the running game has not been getting things going. They have been getting it touchdowns. Graham has 5 touchdowns in the last 4 games, had 2 against Arizona. They're struggling to, but they only have 2 rushing touchdowns this season, which is pretty amazing for what this team usually does. So, they're having to be forced to go to other routes to actually get the ball in the end zone. And Graham has been the beneficiary of that. So, if you look at his yardage totals, they're sort of down from last year and all that, but the catch totals are up and the touchdowns are up. And that's really, I think, where they want it to be the most right now.
Well, we appreciate your time, Bob. Interesting stuff. And, again, we're just trying to get the info on this year's Seattle team. A little banged up, and so are we, man. We'll see what happens on Monday night. Thanks so much for the time today.
All right. Thank you, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.